Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mommy Chronicles with Denise Davis May and Tanya Scott Williams, your parenting partners in raising phenomenal children.
Scott Williams
and Denise Davis May,
and we together are the Mommy Chronicles. Today we are going to do Facebook Live again. In fact, we are already live on Facebook right now. My phone is on one side of the room, and Denise is set up here on the table. And we were saying, as we had guests on Facebook, that we've already established who's going to be winning something today. So let's go ahead and throw that out there again.
Guavita, you have won a gift for being the first person to sign on this morning on my personal page. And again, we still can't see who the first person was to sign on. We think it was
Christy. I think the person's name was Christine. So we'll be able to verify that afterwards. But the phone is too far away, and I can't see that far. So thank you to whoever you were, the first person to sign in. So that's kind of how we're going to do it for this first month of us being back on the air. We're going to give away a couple of our swag items to folks who sign on. But a couple of housekeeping things kind of establish what we're doing today, because we have a very good show, a very meaty show, I like to say that word. And just from the responses from people, we know it's going to be popular.
Yeah.
A couple of things. Events happening locally. We have the Surrender Experience happening tomorrow at 3 p.m. at the Sanctuary in downtown Montgomery. Mm-hmm. You can go online and sign up for that. It's going to be awesome.
And we'll share that on our page.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Kim Vaughn is going to be debuting her new single, and Tasha Scott, of course, will be offering some wonderful counsel and advice and sharing her personal story. But it's such an uplifting atmosphere, so we've got that tomorrow. That's Sunday from 3 to 6. And then we have Ladies Who Lunch at the Capital City Club. Mm-hmm. That's going to be on next Thursday. I think it's February 2nd, and it's at 11:30. You can either have the lunch, it's $20, or you can just come and hear a speaker. So those are two things that I know of. Of course, send stuff to us. And we also want to do a shout-out to the folks at the post office on Catoma Street. I've gone down there a few times and happened to share with them that who I was and what we were doing with the Mommy Chronicles. And two dads there, mm-hmm, with teenagers, I think Phil and Rodney.
Hey, Phil and Rodney.
Yeah, they were very interested in our show, and they promised that they would listen to us. Mm-hmm. So I hope y'all listening this morning, because we gave you a shout-out.
Okay. And so today we're going to be talking about two of the most prominent issues in our lives over the last year, dating and makeup. Hey, Denise. Hey, Lamont. Thanks for signing in. We are going to talk about what that means in families, how you approach it, some of the experiences we've had. We'd like you to share by commenting on Facebook and even calling in. You can call us at...
Oh, yes, you can call us at 602-753-1683.
Mm-hmm. And you'll be live, and if you have any questions or comments or any advice you'd like to offer to us, we would greatly appreciate it. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, and then we're also going to talk about makeup and how you make that introduction to your young people around if they can wear makeup, how they'll wear makeup, and so we'll talk about that, and we'll be looking for your comments on that as well.
Okay, so let me remind you guys now. We're still trying to figure things out. So when you call into the show, if I look like a deer in the headlights for like 5 seconds, don't panic. It'll all work out. I will figure it out.
Yes,
okay?
Ma'am.
So just understand, we're rolling with things the way that they are.
Yeah.
But this is going to be a great show.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, I included our high school pictures,
mm-hmm,
in our promo for the show,
mm-hmm,
and I think I asked the question, can you tell who had on makeup or who didn't?
Nothing like that, right? Yeah. And it is clear
in the picture.
Even today.
Right.
Not me.
Yeah.
And so we joked about that in terms of our experiences as teenagers, with makeup and how we were introduced, and I grew up in the Northeast, and Tanya grew up in the Southeast, and makeup was just not something that we did. My mother never wore makeup, and so makeup was sort of an issue that wasn't discussed. I certainly wasn't introduced to it except for in school, and got in big trouble for coming home with lipstick on, and in so much trouble that I didn't wear makeup again until I was almost 18 in college. And so our experiences drive how we introduce this idea, this concept, to our children. Hey, Tyrone. Hey, Ms. McAlpine. Good to see you.
Yeah, and my family, my mother didn't wear makeup, neither did my grandmother. None of the women in my life wore makeup, and I don't think it was so much that they were against it. We just had flawless, perfect skin, and
okay.
It just was not something that they ever had a need for. I mean, I did grow up Kojic. So, you know, in the Kojic Church, you know.
Church of God in Christ.
Yeah, it was kind of traditional, but, you know, again, it wasn't anything we talked about. And quite honestly, it wasn't even on my radar. I didn't even think about it. I think that picture that I took, my senior picture, I think like 3 days before, I decided I want to change the way that I look, which is not a good idea to do, by the way, before you take a picture as important as your graduation photo, because I think the term caterpillar, not even eyelashes, but I actually use mascara in my monobrow, and I had
no tweezing,
no tweezing. And my lips were pretty though, I have to admit, and I had my curl, my Jerry curl, I was looking great, and I did it that one time. But it just wasn't a big thing for me.
Right.
My neighbor used to want to try to put makeup on me, and I'd duck and dodge and whatnot, and I let her pluck my eyebrows. But other than that, it just wasn't important.
Yeah, we have Denise saying that, you know, she's natural. She doesn't wear makeup, but because her daughter is exposed to both her sister and her cousin, they've been exposed to makeup, and so they're wearing it. And so one of the things we'd like to share is that you have to be aware of when your children start showing an interest in their appearance and makeup. Do know that there are some children who are wearing makeup as early as fifth grade. And so what does that mean? Fourth grade. I remember going to an honor ceremony and thinking, why does that child have on a full face of makeup? But, you know, people do what they do, and they introduce their children to makeup and making up in the ways that they were introduced to it. And so we have to really be clear that we have to really listen to our children. They may or may not be interested in makeup, but when they are, what do you do? How do you expose them? And one of the things that I got right, I don't get a lot right as a parent, but one of the things I got right was when I recognized that there were other little girls wearing makeup in the school that my child attends, and I noticed her eyelashes looking awful thick one morning and thinking, they've just grown overnight, that I needed to begin to talk to her about what my values were related to beauty and how I wanted her to be comfortable in her own skin. Mm-hmm. And so I think in sixth grade or seventh grade, it was seventh grade, I just made an appointment with the MAC counter at our local Dillard's and was it Belt? And just let her play around with the woman who worked at the counter. I was clear about her having a natural look, and she was really helpful. And because it came from someone else,
right?
It was accepted. Mm-hmm. And frankly, you know, she is 14, and she wears mascara and Nivea the chapstick,
right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Lip therapy or whatever it
right,
is.
Yeah.
So it's just really important that we're open and that we think about it. And Vita makes a good point that, you know, when they're old enough to understand that it's an option is when you should introduce it to them.
Yeah.
Because a lot of girls think that they have to have it.
Absolutely.
Right?
And I think before the comment went up the screen, I noticed, and unfortunately I can't remember who said it, but someone says their mom only wore lipstick.
Mm-hmm.
And it's right. Whenever they are interested in it. And hi, Angela, I can see your image from all the way over here. I know that's you, so that for sure. And thanks for signing on to Facebook Live. But yes, it is when they begin to show an interest in it. I think my daughter was around 10 or so when she, and it wasn't even about lipstick, she wanted some lip gloss, which is beyond the chapstick that she's been using for years. And so we let her wear lip gloss on special occasions. And, you know, she rocked along like that for a while. And, you know, around 12 or 13, we decided to transition to some colored lip gloss. And my dear friend Denise, one Christmas, actually bought her a little gift basket with some different shades of gloss, and I think maybe one lipstick in it.
One
lipstick. And it's
neutral.
And it took her a while even to be interested in wearing that lipstick, but she had, you know, this lovely little basket of things. And I did take her to the makeup counter over at Dillard's out at and East Chase. I think Daraja was with us that day. And then we just sort of went to the counter, and the lady put a little lipstick and maybe some foundation on them. They thought they were superstars. But that was a good way to just let Lydia sort of play in that environment. And quite honestly, you know, I wear makeup every now and then, and I really don't care. So
it's I certainly do not.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm wearing some today because I look awesome. But, you know. But
you look awesome without it.
Okay,
so.
That's right. I can roll either way. And look, for me, it's a big deal if you can actually see my eyeshadow. My friend, comedian Joy, and she wears the most fabulous makeup. And if you see the color on my eyes, she goes, "Oh, you're actually wearing eyeshadow." I'm like, "Girl, leave me alone."
So the important piece here is really to understand that it can be a challenge for some parents to introduce and begin the introductions around beauty and appearance. And the most important piece is to make sure that they know they're beautiful. Now, let's be clear. Having those discussions about the beauty of the interior soul, you know, that sounds good, but other kids aren't looking at the interior, right? Your soul.
They can't see your soul.
And kids are awful, right? Mm. And so we have to begin to build up their self-esteem, their valuing of self, so that they know they are beautiful. Yes, from the inside.
Right.
But let's be clear that they're taking care of their outside, and that comes with taking care of your skin, being conscious about grooming. But we know that in today's society, it is important. People make a huge fuss about beauty and what that is and defining it. And so we're clear, particularly as parents of girls, and do know that young men deal with the same thing, right? Appearance and how you manage that. But we wanted to make sure that we are clear that, the whole concept of, you know, true beauty is inside of you. That's true. But there could be some true beauty on the outside as well.
Yeah.
And that's what kids, that's how kids get teased.
Yeah.
That's that's what kids feel the most. Like they're looking at themselves in the mirror. They're consciously, you know, why do we think this social media thing is such a huge issue? Because they're always looking at each other and themselves.
And they're looking at magazines and commercials. And, of course, there's a certain type of beauty that's being advertised as the standard. And thankfully, we're living in a time where we recognize that that's not the only standard out there. And as far as the teasing and self-esteem, I jokingly said for my high school picture, I had I put mascara in my eyebrows to enhance them, but I had a monobrow, and I got teased about that thing throughout, you know, junior high school and high school. I didn't know how to work it. So I tried not to think about it, and it did bother me, right? And I think that's why my neighbor was always looking out the door with them tweezers trying to pull me aside. In her own way, she was trying not to, you know, say, "Baby, let me help you with that."
Out between your eyebrows.
let me just put a part, right? You know, so that, yes, that does go a long way to help lift their self-esteem. And it's such a distraction, an unnecessary distraction, quite honestly.
And so we want to recommend that when your children begin to think about makeup, that you don't try to give them your knowledge unless you are a cosmetologist with that skill. Take them to someone else so that they can get that information, someone that you trust. Think about the companies that really have sound business practices.
Yes.
And let's think about those companies that are coming out of and have grown out of African-American communities and other communities of color. We will be posting a list of those companies on our Facebook page, and we'll tweet them as well. There are some great bargain companies. Black Opal is black owned,
mm-hmm.
And they sell it in like Target and CVS and some of these other stores. We're not promoting those stores. That's
right.
Just those are just the retail outlets that sell these products. Shea Moisture, whose hair products I love, also have a new makeup line, and it's fairly moderately priced. Black Radiance, that's like the, you know, old school.
Yes.
But
I got some in my purse.
It's inexpensive,
mm-hmm.
And you're able to share, you know, different lip colors and let them experiment at home with the range. Iman has a line that I know that they sell at Target, and I'm not sure about other places, maybe some of the other box stores. And then there's the Lip Bar. Oh, my goodness. They're online, but they this young sister has the most beautiful. Now, I wouldn't wear them because, like, blue, like, I'm not ready. I'm not there yet. I've seen some people with some wonderful lip colors. And so she has this just these beautiful, vibrant colors
mm-hmm.
for every skin tone. We mentioned MAC. We mentioned Bare Minerals. Maybe
mm-hmm.
we didn't mention Bare Minerals, but those are some of the companies that have great ranges of foundations. For folk, there's a company, and it's NYX, it's New York Experience, maybe. I don't know what the acronym stands for, but they have the most beautiful lip colors and eye colors, and even I've never used the foundation, but
mm-hmm.
just a range of skin tones. They're not black-owned, but they have the richest. I have on Cherry Bomb this morning,
okay.
and it's beautiful,
okay.
just deep and red, and
mm-hmm.
And I love their colors. And Wet n Wild, you can get some Wet n Wild lipstick for 99 cents anywhere, and it, you won't break the bank having them explore.
And to add just a couple more places, or three or four more places to that list, Hiya Mineral Cosmetics, it's actually an Alabama-based cosmetics company owned by a husband and wife team. They're actually right in Birmingham. I've used their mineral products before, and their eyeshadow line is just gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
You just roll up the road if you're here in our area and check them out, and then find them online. Tyra Banks has a line, and Black Up Cosmetics, now they're known for their wide range of foundations,
mm-hmm.
and for me that's always the issue, finding a foundation that ain't red,
mm-hmm.
because even when it looks brown, you put it on your skin, it looks red.
Mm-hmm.
So we've gotten past that. And Magnolia Makeup,
mm-hmm.
eyeshadows and lipsticks,
mm-hmm.
so we'll talk about those. We'll put those, like you said,
yeah, we'll list
on the
those,
website.
And but the core issue is knowing that your children are going to be exposed to it, and they don't have to wear makeup, but don't freak out when they want to,
mm-hmm.
right? Just be open and listen to what they have to say.
We're going to do a quick little station identification break, and then we're going to roll on to our next subject, which is dating. I know everybody wants to be in on that conversation. But we are the Mommy Chronicles, and if you want to call in to our show, we're so glad that you guys are on Facebook Live. That's fantastic. But if you want to call in and add your comments to our conversation, please call us at 602-753-1683. You can always send your comments to our email. We're at mommychronicles2014@gmail.com. We're on Twitter, at @TMommyChronicle. And we're also on Facebook. All of that stuff will be on our Facebook page. So let's keep the conversation going even after that.
Yeah. And so dating, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, I feel
faint. I want to hear you. I want to listen to you. I'm not saying anything.
Okay. And so dating, we know that everyone has a different understanding of the appropriate time, the appropriate age,
mm-hmm.
what dating looks like. Is it going to be configured as a group date? What grade is? Are we looking at the maturity level of the child? What are the ways that you made decisions about your child or children dating? And did you differentiate between your sons and daughters, and why? Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is an issue that we had some followers comment on. We had one who said that she forbade her 14-year-old from dating, but in spite of that, the 14-year-old was dating, and she knew she was dating, and even though she told her she thought she was too young, they found that, you know, they were talking on the phone, they were eating lunch together, they were walking home together, and meeting at the movies and all of these other things at 14. And she said she grounded her at first because of that, but then she was thinking, well, maybe there's another way for us to approach this rather than us being adversaries through this.
Oh, God.
How do we manage this? And that's where we are. Like, how do you manage? Everybody is, you know, dating. I make it a point of taking my child on group, not dates, but kind of, you know, I take all of the girls in her group, her peer group, as many as six or seven at a time. We'll go to the movies. We'll go have pizza. But the goal is to listen, like to hear what they're talking about,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I'm like, internally, but, you know, I have a put on my poker face because I want them to talk around me. But it's important to think about, how do you set the appropriate boundaries? Are there boundaries that need to be set? What do you guys think? How can you make these decisions? There are 12 and 11-year-olds who are calling, you know, Josh is my boyfriend, and Nina is my, let me not use a name I'm familiar with, but.
These are made-up names, by the way. We ain't thinking about nobody's child.
Yeah.
We're just throwing it out. If it sounds like your child, we ain't talking about you.
Gina is my girlfriend, and all of these kind of comments. But really, Dr. Anish Yarber-Allen, who is a medical sociologist but who works around the sociology of sex, right,
mm-hmm.
sexuality, she said, you know, I never really struggled with that. You know, my daughter may have been 8 or 9 saying I had a boyfriend and we're going out, and I said, okay, but where can they really go? So why would I get upset about them, you know, calling one another a boyfriend or girlfriend? It's language. You know, what are the more important point is, what do they mean by that? Does that just mean that this person, I have a connection to this individual, I'm 8, but there's something about him or her that I really appreciate, that I really like.
Yes.
And so she gave me the best advice. She said when that discussion happened, she said, sit her, him down, and ask her to begin to talk about the characteristics that they appreciate in that person. Because what you're doing is you are helping your child to develop critical thinking, right,
yes.
around what they are in fact attracted to. Because we get caught up, you know, all of us had little crushes on the little, you know, the Michael Jacksons, you know, the nose Michael Jackson, so pre. Anyway,
gotcha. We
so crushes on, you know, Bobby Brown pre-crazy, right? We had crushes, right?
And, right.
But we don't want our kids to get caught up in kind of the surface stuff.
Exactly.
We want them to be critically thinking about, what is it about this individual that I'm attracted to?
Mm-hmm.
So I began those discussions, and you know, so why do you, like, so you said you have a crush on X, or your friend told me you had a crush on X, which is typically what happens with my child.
Mm-hmm.
What is it about that individual that you like? And then, you know, she's able to say, well, you know, I think I like people who are athletic. And then I said, so what does that mean? Well, I know that they're going to be committed, right, that they're going to have a goal and they're going to, yes, that makes sense. You like people who set goals. That's what I'm talking about, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
I'm saying that in my head because if I say that to her, she would stop talking. And so thinking about how you introduce this concept to your children without freaking out. We all go through it. They're going to go through it. You may be able to limit and set boundaries, and that's really what we need to focus on, right? What are the boundaries?
Mm-hmm.
We talk about when we first introduce our kids to, and I see all of these comments rolling, and I can't see them.
Yeah, Angela, I know you're trying to comment. I can't see what you're saying, but I'm so glad that you're there, though. I'll look back over it later, and we'll comment from there.
And we need to identify what's important to us. So, is it 16 that they can begin to date? And that was the arbitrary age my dad gave. And then when somebody asked me to the movies at 16, and I said, well, Dad, I'm going to go to the movies with such and such, he said, oh, no, you don't tell me that you're going to the movies, so no, you can't go. And
oh.
I was like, oh, my goodness. So, you know, I want to be really conscientious about not setting arbitrary rules, because one 16-year-old may be prepared today and another one might not be. They may not be mature enough. So is it 14? Is it 15? Is it 16? I've set the arbitrary age of 16, but I'm rethinking some of that, because if you say that they start dating at 16, what kind of preparation have you put in place? Certainly you're training them. Right, you've instilled values that you want them to respect, but what have you taught them about interactions that are not platonic? Like, what have you said to them about the kind of respect that they ought to seek and give in a relationship? Have you talked to them about physical bodily boundaries? Have you talked to them about how they should treat others? Because, you know, oftentimes I find myself focusing on, this is what you will not put up with, right? If someone says X, and you, but how do you treat others? What do you give in relationships? And when is the time for you to begin to do that? And I've watched, you know, some of the young people, 13, 14, you know, well, this is such and such is my boyfriend. What does that mean? I asked one young lady, and she said, well, it means that he carries my books to the locker, and then after school, he walks me to my mom's car. I said, oh, okay. So that's not what dating meant to me, right, at 14 or 15 or 16. So we have to be clear. We have to be clear about what the language means for them.
And we also have to avoid responding out of fear.
Mm-hmm.
Because when they say the word dating to us, let's just say 14. They say dating to us at 14. Suddenly we've got these memories that rush to the front, maybe of our lives, mm-hmm. growing up as children, maybe the way that our parents responded to us, maybe what we are afraid our kids may do in spite of all of the training that we've done in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
So we react out of fear, and that just sets back the entire conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the guidelines that you described are fantastic. We've got about 3 minutes left on our show. We will likely, obviously, have to sign off on Blog Talk. That's going to end. But if we're in the middle of the conversation, it's still rolling really good on Facebook. We may continue for a few minutes. Just want to throw that out there at you. Also, remember that we did have two winners at the beginning. The first two folks who signed on to our Facebook Live accounts, we're going to be sending them some swag items. They'll just have to let us know exactly what they want.
Mm-hmm. And so if you have any comments, any questions that you'd like us to kind of share with others, just log on to Facebook and post them. If you're on my page, I'm so sorry for Tanya's folk, because
yes,
they
yes.
are. So, although we probably could have signed on like.
You know, I can't manage two things at once.
I'm looking at my page, so if you're on my page, you can just post a question or a comment. I know that many of us have faith systems that kind of partially govern how we introduce our children to kind of these dating relationships,
right.
And we certainly need to make sure that they're clear about that. But we also need to move in strength that what we've taught them and how we've trained them, that we've done a good job.
Absolutely.
Most of our kids have really good common sense. And we know common sense ain't so common nowadays, but I think we do a pretty okay job with that. And so dating shouldn't be about some fears that you had, as Tanya suggested, but it really should be about talking. For instance, one of the sources that we noted, Michelle Anthony, who's a developmental psychologist, suggested that we should just introduce it. Some of our kids are ready, some of them aren't. It sounds like a lot of kids are talking about dating. What do you think about it? Very
mm-hmm.
simply. And then sitting back and letting them share with you, not pushing it, because sometimes I can be pushy. Y'all didn't know that, right? But sometimes I can be pushy. So we really want to encourage all of you to just be open, to let your what you've done stand.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And I absolutely appreciate what you said about and trusting that we have done the work
mm-hmm.
and giving our kids the space to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to thank everybody again. Don't sign off on Facebook. We're going to keep rolling on Facebook for a little bit, but we are going to have to sign off Blog Talk in about 60 seconds. I want to thank Angela for being on Facebook Live on my page and whoever that first person was. And also I want to thank Anna Maria in Maryland. She had posted some information leading up to the show. Mm-hmm. So we're going to keep throwing out things to you guys on Facebook. We want to start moving traffic to our actual Mommy Chronicles Facebook page. So please, as you are signing on, please go to the Facebook page for the Mommy Chronicles, and we're going to sort of move people away from our personal pages.
And follow us.
Yeah, absolutely, follow us there. Find us on Twitter also at TMommyChronicle. And just start putting stuff out there. We're still in the beginning stages of the show, and we're so glad that we have folks from our old audience who are signing on. And so we're going to get ready to sign off. See this niece. There we go, pointing at the screen. I'm ready. I'm going to be ready. Oh, I forgot to hit the thing.
You got to hit it because it's not hit.
Okay, there we go.
Thanks for listening to the Mommy Chronicles with Denise Davis May and Tanya Scott Williams. Listen anytime, anywhere on blogtalkradio.com. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. Write to us at mommychronicles2014@gmail.com. The Mommy Chronicles, your parenting partners in raising phenomenal children.